Yes, push.
Okay, good afternoon. Welcome to the Historic Landmarks Commission for August 18th, 2014. And we've got some items of interest for the commission, which include a briefing from Tanya LaMarche. So we'll start with that. And then we've got a comprehensive plan draft update briefing and a recap regulatory improvement code amendment project 7. And then we've got a continuing design advice request going on for the Davis Street property. It'll be the third time here. And I'm going to ask that we begin with asking the Bureau of Development Services staff to introduce themselves, which I know Tim Heron's here, but he's not now. Chris Caruso is in the audience. And the members of the Landmarks Commission today are?
Caroline Dow.
Paul Salmeno.
Ryan Emmerich.
Jessica Ingerman.
Karen Carlson.
Chris Monroza.
Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of requests for landmark designation and coordinate other historic preservation programs. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Okay, I think that's all I have to read today since we don't have any type 3 reviews. So without further ado, let's hear from Tanya.
Hi, my name is Tanya March. And I work primarily as a historical research consultant. I don't often come before the Landmarks Commission. And I'm thanking the commissioners for bringing me in today. I'm bringing to you two projects that I have worked on that have stalled, basically, and that I'm seeking more connectivity and social capital. One of them is the Jansen Beach Carousel that I nominated to the Restore Oregon Most Endangered Places list. It received that nomination, and it's still endangered. It was removed from it was a National Register landmark, and I can discuss in some detail about how it was removed from that list. And that was done in part because the State Historic Preservation Office here in Oregon thought that it was moving to the Children's Museum. The other building that I'm working on with Ms. Teresa Rayford and her family is a property that they own on MLK at Shaver, and it's 3962 Northeast MLK Avenue.
Thanks.
So we're seeking advice and highlighting our concerns about two historic preservation projects that failed to make the 2014 State of the City Preservation Report. Both, in my opinion, potentially could have been listed in that section under the Portland Historic Resource Watch list. So I wrote to Commissioner Jessica Engelman and said, 3 minutes at City Hall is not enough time for me to talk about everything. I'm also on the Historic Preservation Coalition. I'm also on the board of the Northwest Cultural Center. So I was being asked to speak on so many facets of myself and that I wanted to have another chance for us to talk to you. And I know, Teresa, you also are on the coalition with me.
Okay, and one of the urgency goals for this project for 3962 Northeast Martin Luther King, which is the property that my family owns, it's formerly known as the Burger Barn, and the relationship to the city and its history is the most current history regarding civil rights is the Possum Incident that happened here in the city of Portland back in 1981. Which became a national incident and is still being talked about. I think that some archives were added to the Oregon Historical Society on August 4th, and so this year, actually. And so I'm excited to bring the opportunity to our city to provide equity through restoration and preservation of this as an objective to promote education in preservation and conservation to communities of color that otherwise feel like they've been gentrified due to not planning or having resources to obtain or sustain their property within the city limits. And so our goals are, again, to rebuild the relationships between communities that are experiencing gentrification and demolition and that don't have resources. We want to use this project to build a coalition of partners that can blueprint an opportunity for them to obtain the know-how. We also want to promote community planning that engages residents that currently view preservation activities as catalysts of gentrification. In our family, we've developed most of the property that we own in North and North Northeast Portland, and it hasn't taken us out of the community, but we would like to see other people that are founding families that still live in the community have the access to the type of capital that we have as well. So we want to show them by example. Promote interest in education and jobs within the preservation industry to communities of color. With the project preservation, we also have attached a retail indicator that will create an economic opportunity for local people that live in the neighborhood. With the interest in hubs that are having food carts on them, and with the other building that we owned no longer adjacent to the lot, we want to create a community center space that promotes historic information that includes mapping and information about the districting, and also hubs local history within the facility that we're wanting to reestablish. So with that point, I'll just go ahead and turn it back over to Tanya.
So the Burger Barn is a Western storefront building that's 114 years old. So I think it's fitting that I've given this project a Western movie theme of the good, the bad, and the ugly. So in the research that I did, I found out that one of the founding members of the black community here in Portland, Catherine Gray, she was the founder of the Harriet Tubman Club, a number of social organizations, the AME Zion Church
over in Portland, one of the oldest churches. She was a founding member. And that was back in 1906, and she lived in that residence at 3962.
So that was, her husband was a gold miner, according to the U.S. Census. They had some money, and they moved in to the building on MLK the same year that the Golden West Hotel was built here on this side of the river. So I'm calling that the good era, and her daughters were very active in the community. The YMCA music that was coming out, that was the one black part of the Rose Festival, it was her children that were involved in that. It's a very long history with this family here in the community. She ended up working at a comfort station after her husband passed, and I want to be very clear that that is a public restroom. I've had some concerns among the community that that is not what that title meant, and so I want to be very clear, in case there's been any misunderstanding, that she worked at one of the public restrooms here in downtown Portland after her husband passed on and remained here in Portland. The bad is the Union Avenue riots in the late 60s, and then the ugly is the 1981 Possum incident. There is urgency with 3962 Northeast MLK today. There is an active demolition permit on the property that will be executed without access to social and economic capital. We need a valid, defensible cost estimate to fully rehabilitate the structure. Kathy Galbraith of Architectural Heritage Center is willing to submit the community livability grant. I submitted a nomination to Restore Oregon for their most endangered places last week in time for their deadline, but that doesn't come with the capital. We need, in order to do any sort of crowdsourcing, any sort of fundraising, I'm estimating $250 to $300 a square foot, but we need a professional accredited firm to do that sort of cost estimation. And we are also seeking additional letters of support. We have letters of support from the King Neighborhood Association.
From the King Neighborhood Association, also from the Architectural Heritage Center, Oregon Black Pioneers. We have some from Tanya and Mike Meyerson. And we have some other ones that are going to be sent to us shortly. We've sent out the request, and the response has been overwhelmingly good on our part.
And Teresa, the organization WAFI that you are the executive director of is one of the partners in this project?
Oh, absolutely. I'm the chief information officer for the World Arts Foundation Incorporated, and they do the Martin Luther King celebration here every year, which is the largest designated organization that is being archived in the King facilities out in Atlanta. So it's a really big tradition. They're going to be celebrating their 30th anniversary, and I've worked with a lot of professors to create an educational curriculum based on what they're doing, which will include architectural design and STEM programming. So we're looking at housing some of the preservation content that we receive from them in this facility in a media format as an attraction to tourism and local community members so that they can go there and learn the history, and that, you know, the content received from the World Arts Foundation we think is extremely valuable because they've done this production for over 30 years and they have a lot of history that goes back even further than that. So to be able to archive it there in the community on Martin Luther King Street would just be great for us.
A Over there on my left is my clients for the carousel project. There's my son, Berkeley Sherman, and two of his Head Start classmates who were both living in a domestic violence shelter when I took this picture. I found out that the carousel was endangered and that they were going to shut it down within a month because families without housing were staying in the carousel food court during the day as a warming, keeping yourself dry place before they returned to the domestic violence shelter. Because they knew I was in the historic preservation field, they reached out to me and asked me to help save the carousel. Since then, they've apologized to my husband many times for the amount of time that I spent on this effort, which, as you can see from the image on your right, the original the building that housed the carousel has been demolished. My understanding is that the carousel currently is in one of Jansen Beach's box stores. So despite the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and the Restore Oregon nomination, the 1921 Parker Carousel is still in limbo. It's been held hostage by a lot of the events over at Hayden Island. I've talked to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement Group there, the citizens. They have so many issues going on Hayden Island. This is a very small issue on their radar compared to a lot of the development Columbia River crossing issues that their planning committee faces. The fact that it was removed from the National Register, because this was the legal case, was because it had gone to be restored. So it was fully restored. They actually honored Vera Katz by naming one of the horses for her. It was restored in Canada. Because it was restored in Canada and was out of Portland for more than 6 months, that was the loophole that the lawyers were able to do to have it delisted. So it has been delisted. That delisting stays. Ian from the State Historic Preservation Office has offered to renominate the carousel if we can find a site for it, and that's been the problem of that it's sort of become a bargaining chip because of its mobility. I believe that it's owned by a real estate investment trust at this time. So I want to thank you very much for your time today. And I just wanted to bring these issues to your attention and thank you so much.
I actually have a couple of questions before you leave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that right?
You bet.
So, and I couldn't hear you directly, but in the first presentation when you were talking about the Burger Barn,
mm-hmm.
which many of us who've lived in Portland are very familiar with that site, and I'm glad that it's still with us. Somebody mentioned an amount of money that's needed.
We don't know. We're trying to get a definable estimate based on advice received from Kathy over at Bosco Milligan. She said that we need an estimate. My uncle owns a construction company, and he works with different engineers, but she said that if the estimate came from outside of our family, that would be more credible for the process that we need to go through. With that being said, I've asked him not to demolish the building, but I haven't purchased it from him, and he's not going to give me money to figure out how to save it. So I have to be innovative in my approach. And that's why I added the education and economic factors. But to get there, we have to get an estimate. And Kathy's requesting that we receive that before September because she's writing a grant right now on our behalf.
I thought I heard somebody mention $250,000, was it?
No. She was saying that the estimate might be $250 to $300 per square foot.
Per square foot. Okay. And then you answered my second question, which was?
That's by comparables.
Okay. And then who owns the building? So it's your uncle that owns it, and your uncle's the one that wants to demolish it.
He wanted to demolish it. I came to him last year with a proposal for a redevelopment. At the time, he was working with PDC, and he would like to demolish the building and the other properties that are adjacent to it to build a two-story retail building. Since then, that's not on the table, and he wanted to do a different development, but I've asked him to come back to my original proposal, which is the preservation and the use for economic development to bring in the food cart industry to that area, because Martin Luther King and Shaver is a pretty busy area in the community, and like the food hubs that they have on Williams and Vancouver and Fremont, I think that would be a viable market, and then also in attachment to what we're talking about is equity and gentrification. For us to have a black-owned hub like the one that they have now on 17th and or 16th and Alberta that's adjacent to Rose City, I think that would show little spots of the community coming back together, but this one with an educational outreach and engagement position attached to it.
Have you explored the possibility of forming some kind of a nonprofit exploratory group where people could make donations to you as a 501c3 or something similar?
Absolutely, and not just donations, but a commitment of educational resources. Because when I did,
When I had moved to Texas for about 15 years before I moved back to Portland, so of course I came home and I saw a different community. And so with that being said, when I talked to people that I knew personally that owned property, both commercial and real estate, they didn't know the navigation system for planning. They didn't have any understanding or any engagement coming to them for anything except for selling their property. When I would ask them, has anybody approached you about planning and development? Because I saw that there were workshops available, webinars available, community meetings established, and everything else. People would tell me that they weren't getting the information. So as an accountant, I kind of did an audit to find out how the outreach was being done. And they were being missed. There wasn't that type of outreach going to everybody that would have a vested interest in development. So I'm thinking that out of this, we can create that type of outreach with those same organizations and also create additional organizations that have the interest to outreach to these type of communities.
Okay. Because I know that, you know, nonprofit, for example, the Architectural Heritage Center, Bosco Million, have partnered with specific buildings, and there are others as well, to allow them to raise funds for example, exploration of matters that could be helpful to you.
Yeah, well, the Portland Black Pioneers, when Kim Moreland and I talked to the owner, Andre Rayford, he said that he's willing to just extend the demolition permit, so ask for an extension. He doesn't want to let it go away and then have to pay for it again. And he's given us until February, which seems very reasonable. And he lives adjacent to the site, so he's able to keep his eyes on what's going on there. You know, it's not, he's not going to have to, you know, as far as vandalism and just different, since he spends the night next to the building every night.
But I was going to say that in reply to Mr. Matarzaro, am I saying that right, Matarzaro?
Harris.
Okay, Harris. We don't have the funding. Kathy hasn't brought those type of funds to our attention, but she does say that she will volunteer on writing and identifying funds that might be available. But right now, there's not anything currently available because she approached me with preservation for this project back in 2010 originally. So it's been a four-year process just to gain some type of foundation to not have it demolished.
Yeah, the foundation doesn't have money, but they can help you, as Restore Oregon can, in terms of either partnering with a nonprofit. They can help you
absolutely
for exploration purposes and so on. So just I'm glad you're exploring.
Oh, absolutely.
That. It's a great project. I just got to say personally, it was a very shameful part of Portland's history, but it's, I'm glad the building is still there and that they could be used in this way to promote understanding, education understanding, not only about that event, but also the what's gone on in the city in terms of the
absolutely.
Community.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
A quick question on the estimate that Kathy recommends for this grant. Is this an actual, like a real estimate from a contractor? Is this a letter from a contractor that's outside your family validating sort of a range of costs? Or
definitely has to be from outside the family because of nepotism. You know, okay. There would be concerns that.
Well, and I don't know if that's even the concern. We want to have a clean proposal. We don't want to seem to benefit outside of what we want to provide to the community, but we don't want to sell the property. We would like to own it and be owner-developers so that we can create a trend that owner-developers can do this type of project. As far as we don't have any money to do anything right now. His interest is to make money. The building's not making money at this time, and so we're fighting against that.
I was just thinking that there might be a preservation-minded contractor out there that would be willing to meet with you, walk through the building, and just write a letter sort of validating a range of costs that, you know, you don't have any architectural plans for them to base any sort of estimate off of, but just sort of a verbal understanding of fixing up the building, we might be able to get
We've just been in contact with Livermore Architecture through Sarah. And so we're hoping that that organization, once they contact us, they'll deliver that type of outreach that we need.
But also, so I went to the training for this grant on a Thursday, and there was only two trainings. One was on a Tuesday, one was on a Thursday, and Kathy Galbraith and I went to opposite trainings just in case something was covered in one training that wasn't covered in another. They actually want competitive bids. They don't, we need more than one. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be clear, like, I think we have one coming, but we need more than one. Because they want to make sure that it's the PDC's public money, and they want to make sure that this is a legitimate process. And they also have certain hiring practices within the minority community as well that we're hoping should be a win on this one. But, you know, there is a, it is part of the interstate in urban renewal area, and this grant has a potential of $300,000.
Okay.
In brick and mortar, not on the design end.
Right, right. Okay. Any thoughts?
Anything else? What can the Landmarks Commission do to help support your guys' efforts?
We're trying to raise awareness today of what we're doing.
Well, that's seeking additional letters of support. What we wanted from you guys, because in the interest of branding and value within the city of Portland, I think that matters. And so that's why we've been asking for the letters of support from reputable organizations that have a history of doing what we're trying to do with this project. And so, again, we're seeking the same type of support from you guys, whether you identify resources and make sure that we have them available, or if you just give us a letter of support that we can say, hey, look, they believe in us, and we hope that you believe in us, too. One of our goals is also to do some crowdsourcing so that we can receive additional capital to continue the development of the entire plan. And so, again, announcing that we have that type of support in our video outreach and crowdsourcing, I think is going to be valuable to us. And of course, if you guys put something in writing saying that you supported us, we're pretty sure you would share the link within your networks to support your return of investment as an organization.
Do you have an email or something, Teresa, that where you'd send out to others? I'm just wondering if maybe that makes sense to send it to staff.
Yeah, we have the vertibarn@gmail.com, and we'll send you this. But we'll send you the PowerPoint to the committee along with the contact information, and hopefully if you guys are able to do the diligence.
That'd be great. Right? Anyone here interested in writing a letter?
Well, I've written them for some other ones. Maybe I think it'd be helpful to me if maybe you could just sort of get us what you have in writing so far so that we can draw from that.
Yeah.
I have memories about this long for most things.
Yeah, we've got a letter from the Community Neighborhood Association.
Yeah.
Press kit that's coming together from all the stuff we just sent it out. So I think just so that you can look through it, and if there's any additional questions for due diligence sake,
I think it'd be great. Are you guys on Boise or Elliott's Neighborhood Association agendas?
It's the King Neighborhood Association
that we've met with. But we're also seeking a relationship with Boise, because I think it's a best interest with Boise and Sabin, because those are our joining neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But I think long-term economics and as far as partnerships, I think that would be a win for the city.
Yeah, I think this is a great example of a project that's not maybe a rock star, you know, monument in terms of architecture, but is an important piece of preservation and history to the city. So, thanks for bringing
that. I was going to say that we had went to an event at City Club, and the panel, one of the persons, I think he was the man from San Francisco that used to be here doing developments and preservation or design. And one of the things that he said was that we have to redefine the history in order to show the purpose. And so, I think that with creating an education center and historical content there, that's going to help us redefine the space so that it won't have that negative thing, but also beautiful.
Thank you for coming.
I have one question about the carousel, though. So you're saying it's owned by a
REIT? State Investment Trust.
But do you know the name of that
REIT?
That
REIT? Well, not the REIT, Incorporated Developer.
What was the name of the trust? What was the name of the?
I think it was Eden's Development.
Eden's. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.